Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is Money Talking from WNYC. I'm Charlie Herman. Joining me, as they do most Fridays, WNYC contributors Joan O'Sara with The New York Times and Rana Faruhar with Time Magazine. An internal investigation at General Motors into a faulty ignition switch concludes that there's been an 11-year history of failures at the company. But in releasing the report yesterday, the company's CEO, Mary Barra, says there's no proof of a conspiracy to hide the issue. The faulty ignition switch that even the engineer who designed it called the switch from hell costs just under a dollar to replace and has been blamed now for more than a dozen deaths, led to recalls of millions of vehicles, and resulted in a multi-million dollar fine, and GM is expected to have to pay out even more in the future. So, Rana, when you see this 300-page report commissioned by GM, how seriously should we take it?
Oh, very seriously. I mean, Mary Barra herself said in no uncertain terms that this was a deeply troubling report, that this was not just about a single safety incident, that this was about a dysfunctional culture at this company, a company that was filled with, as she put it, silos, divisions that didn't talk to one another, that really didn't even have any idea what they were doing in some cases. You know, there it's just filled with telling details. One page refers to the GM nod, in which everyone goes into a meeting and hears something about a problem and nods, yes, we'll do something, and then everyone leaves and no one takes responsibility. So it's quite a damning report, and she's going to have a lot of work to do to change the culture of the company.
Of course, it's also important to note who it didn't blame. It was pretty specific in blaming certain people in the middle level, in the engineering department, and even in the legal department. But the top executives were cleared of having known about the problem, and that includes Mary Barra herself, which, of course, is exactly the result that she and they wanted.
Well, when you see a report like this, does it clear the deck for GM and they can move forward, or does it actually really open them up to even more lawsuits and more investigations?
I think it actually clears the deck for Barra as a leader, which is important because she now needs to do a soup-to-nuts culture change. But remember, this is just GM's report. The Justice Department, the government, Congress can still investigate, and there may be more questions that emerge.
Right. And just because GM has issued its own report doesn't mean that everybody else is going to say, okay, we're all done. Let's go now. There have up on the Hill, there's been a fair amount of criticism of this report already. And it's clear Congress is going to – they're going to want more specific answers from Mary Barra than they had the last time when she basically did a lot of apologizing but basically said she couldn't say anything until this report came out. Well, now the report's out, so now she's going to have to talk more specifically.
But, you know, one of the things that we heard a lot was the problem that happened at GM over this ignition switch had to do with the old GM, the GM before it went bankrupt and reemerged. But when you look at this report, there are comments that there was no sense of urgency right to the end. That's a quote from the report about fixing the problem. So has the culture at GM really changed? Can Mary Barra change that culture and make it a place that's more focused on safety versus other issues?
I think that cultures take years to change, if not decades. You know, I mean, the auto industry in America in general has been dysfunctional for many decades. This, you know, that these problems, many of them go back far beyond the ignition switch issue. You know, you've read reports, Harvard Business School case studies about the auto business and how dysfunctional it's been for decades. But I think that it's going to take her probably some time to work through these problems. And if you remember, she came in and was basically hit by the scandal right away.
Just to be on a hopeful note here, it's worth remembering that Ford once had a culture that was every bit as stratified and rigid as General Motors. And then Alan Mulally came in as the chief executive officer. And he in a matter of 4 or 5 years, completely changed the culture so there were no more silos, so that you know, people were willing to say what needed to be said in meetings. And they started making better cars, too. So it can be done. It's hard, but it can be done.
Well, let me change to another story that we've talked about and watched here for quite a while, and that's high-frequency trading. This is that super-fast computer trading that's totally upended how Wall Street works. And yesterday, the chair of the Securities and Exchange Commission released a series of recommendations that could change how the market works. It could increase oversight of these high-speed traders and even provide more information for investors when it comes to trading. Joe, is this as significant as it appears?
It is, potentially. First of all, these are just they not only just propose rules, but they're proposals of proposals. We're going to have to go a long way down the road before we have actual new rules and regulations. But the answer is it does have the potential to change the way high-frequency trading works and perhaps make less of an emphasis on speed so that the markets become a little more equal for everybody.
And Rana, do you think that this would really change the way that trading itself works?
Well, it's interesting. I don't quite understand how it would change the speed of trading. I do think it's something that's long overdue because for some time now, the majority of trading, not just in this country but around the world, has been done by computers with algorithms. This is not about people standing on trading floors anymore. That's really an old-fashioned way of thinking about things. What I'd like to see, though, beyond trying to control how high-frequency trading is done, we need changes in our tax code to deal with how this kind of trading is taxed relative to investors that buy and hold stocks. I think that there's a whole host of problems that go with high-frequency trading, and flash crashes and the like are only a few of them.
Well, let's take a look at some of the stories we're watching in the weeks ahead. Joe, what are you paying attention to?
Well, starting Monday comes the trial of the century, at least for me. It's Ed O'Bannon versus the NCAA. This is a lawsuit that has been simmering for about 5 years. It has to do with who owns the names, images, and likenesses of athletes and former college athletes. The NCAA says it controls them. The O'Bannon people say no, that's anti-competitive and antitrust. And should the O'Bannon people win, it has the potential to change the model of college sports.
Rana, what are some of the stories you're watching?
Well, I'm fascinated to read Hillary Clinton's new book, which is coming out next week. And, you know, we've seen lots of excerpts and comments on all kinds of media outlets. I haven't heard too much, though, about her economic policy views. And I'm wondering, like I think many people are, is she going to be going back to the usual suspects, Larry Summers, John Podesta, Gene Sperling, or does she have a new set of advisors and some new policy ideas that are going to drive her economic ideas forward?
Well, we'll be watching all those stories and all the week's financial news at WNYC.org. You can also take this program with you as a podcast available on iTunes. Joan Osair with The New York Times and Rana Furuhar with Time Magazine, thanks for joining.
Thank you.
I'm Charlie Herman. This is Money Talking from WNYC.